So the only thing that I would add to your, you call it the ionosphere, the would be lid locks, like from A Clockwork Orange.
Oh man, people are getting it as it is, man. People walk up to it and they're like, "What is that thing?" They won't put their head in it. They're trying to light, get their eyes stuck open. They freak out. I've done another version of it where I had a camera mounted in the face of it, and the people on the outside would see the person inside looking around at their own projection on it,
It would
make it look like they're a person with a big jack ball on their head with their face on it looking around.
Whoa.
It was awesome, but people would be afraid to put their head in it, and I'd be like looking them in the eye saying, so you won't put your head in there because you're going to be on camera, but I'm looking at you right now.
So in the music video, is that when you actually see inside the helmet, is that actually a camera inside the helmet, or that was sort of simulated?
That, most of that is composited, so we had taken stuff apart, but I mean, it's pretty much... If you can just imagine an IMAX theater that's a dome around you, it goes a little bit higher than an IMAX because it goes all the way up to the top, then you can imagine this. It's a rear projection on a sphere that's right, it's about 5 inches from your face.
Huh.
And when you look around, it's sometimes, especially nowadays, I have a high definition projector and I've been doing more stuff with high res footage. And it's getting a lot closer to the place where it'll trick your mind. It'll disorient you and you feel like you're somewhere that you're not. Especially under the influence, because I do this thing a lot at parties. And so a lot of the time I'll be at raves, and once you hit that magic hour, then people, you lift it up and people will be pale, look you in the face like, where did you just now take me? You just video the fuck, bro.
It's awesome.
Well, I appreciate the journey you've taken us on today.
I really appreciate you guys too.
This was really wonderful, and again, I just want to really say I'm very, very impressed with your work, and I hope I'll put this in links in the show notes and everything, but throw your website out there and anything else. I want people to be able to dive into some of this stuff.
The website is project-ions.com. That's projections, the word projections with an S with a dash in the middle of it. So it's project-ions.com. And if you go to my Facebook page, I'm Michael Allen, and it's Facebook.com/ outshine the sun. That's what I was talking about. It's called And Our Earth Will Outshine the Sun.
Seriously.
And I did find your YouTube is Michael Allen. I looked it up before when you were talking about
copy that, but whenever we're finished, send me your address. And Alan and I can send you, I'd love to send you this book. I know that you read enough as it is. I'm sure you got lots of books and stuff around you, but I have this, it's 12 chapters. I split it up into 12 separate little books, and they all have musical accompaniment. So we went through and we scored it. There's like 6 hours worth of soundtrack that's intended to be listened to while you're reading the book.
And, oh, geez, that's genius.
I printed a lot of copies of it about 5 years ago. We had a band that was using this as kind of our stepping stone into the real world, but then the band broke up, and so now it's just sitting on my shelf. It's never been edited by anybody but me, and it's just my kind of a freshman effort towards something like this, but I really love your opinion.
Yeah, please, for real. I would be totally down with that.
Sounds awesome. Brought me your address when you're done here.
And, I don't know if this will be part of the actual show audio or not. I was hesitant to actually say anything during the show, but I sent you an email. I really want to thank you for your donation to the shows and to the website and everything. Like, it's a hugely appreciated thing, and has really just kind of re-inspired me in a lot of ways to know that this can be done in this way, that, you know, like I said, we try and figure out, this is getting a little bit much. Do we have to start, you know, charging for archives or things like that? And just really made me feel like, no, this is a viable option, that if we put it out there and if someone's going to appreciate it, then they'll show their appreciation. And it just really, really made me feel like that's we've been doing the right thing, and just really, it was a lot of validation, and can't tell you how much I appreciate that.
Honestly, I'm very grateful for what you guys did, and like I said on the email to you, I look forward to keeping on sending money, because, and you know, really, you guys are the only ones. I don't have a lot of money to donate to all this stuff, and I'm not saying that so you feel anything, except for the fact that I appreciate this so much that I owe it to you. These past 6 months has been, my life has been definitely enhanced by getting to know your programming, and I'm thankful for that. And so, so you deserve it. And I hope that you talk to all the other people out there that are like me, and then we can all keep communicating with each other so that you guys can keep on doing it, because it's people like me that appreciate it that much in order for it to just be like, you know, I've been watching PBS my whole life and I haven't signed up on the dotted line just because I'm just trying to get by myself. But
right.
Whatever I can to keep something like this going on, because it's helped me get by myself.
Wow. Thank you. Big time.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you know, just to kind of, it's like, you know, I think we're all kind of in the same place, and it just sort of made me reevaluate. Like, so I'm just going to be like really, really blunt here. So after, you know, you sent me, as I saw this donation come in, and I was like, oh my God, I got to like, you know, really express, I wasn't just going to write like a thank you note. It was like, I just really wanted to express how I felt. And then we start going back and forth emailing, and I looked at your website and I was really, really impressed. So I was speaking to my wife, and I was like, I've asked this guy to come on the show. And she's like, why? Because he donated? She's like, you know, just because someone donates doesn't mean they want to come on a show. And I was like, no. The sad truth is that, you know, your donation made me, like, take notice and then look at your site, but it wasn't that. Like, I mean, very seriously, legitimately, like, it's sad that that's what made me pause, because I get a bunch of emails and I don't always check everything out. It's like, the sad truth is that that's what made me stop and look at it. But when I looked at it, I was like, wow. And then a step further is like, it made me feel even better. So now here's a guy who I'm legitimately impressed by and inspired by, and that the feeling's mutual, that he would want to show gratitude, that the feeling's mutual. I just can't express how wonderfully reciprocal that feels, that to know that someone that I would be really impressed by would be impressed by us, and it's just really all around a wonderful feeling, and I hope we can just keep chatting, and
thanks for getting to know you guys. I feel like I know you I know you pretty well, because like I said, I've listened to the station, and I've gone on. I try not to get too deep in the blogs and stuff, because I'm afraid I'll spend too much time in them, but yeah. I have definitely been keeping the radio stations rolling in my background, and your books have been on the top shelf for the past 6 months of my life, and keep them coming, man. It's really awesome, and I really think that all that stuff, it's just, we are a kind of community out here, and it's the internet that's making it possible for us to get together, you know. But I saw on the kitchen sink the other day, somebody said, do any of you have sinky friends? Like yesterday, somebody posted, do you have sinky friends? And I'm like, not really, man. I got plenty of friends out there, and there are lots of people that I can talk to for a minute about this. But generally speaking, there's really like not a single friend that I can turn on to the radio portion of this to the extent that I've taken it and then be right on the same page as me. There are lots of people that will read the book and look at it and say, oh, that's real interesting stuff, but they're not as into it as me, and I look at how much you guys are into it, and it feels like we share the same, I don't know, dysfunction?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It could be argued that a lot of this is the result of sublimation, but hey, what isn't, you know?
I told somebody when I started doing it, I was like, I'm just taking this. There's a bunch of conspiracy stuff that I've been reading into that I normally wouldn't pay the attention to. And don't worry about me unless I start talking about like shaving my eyebrows or anything weird like that. You know, if I start seeming like I'm about to move into the mountains or something, then try to call me out on it, you know?
Right. Shave your eyebrows and put two hammers on your chest.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. As soon as that goes down, then you guys can worry. Otherwise, let me do what I'm going to do and understand that I'm I'm being normal here, even though I kind of think that Jesus is the devil.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't think about it like that until I started listening to you guys' shows and stuff. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, man, the illumination, the snake, it's all coming together.
Yeah, it's kind of like you were saying, like, accepting that there really is only one thing, and it's, we can choose to put a label on it however we want or relate to it in any way we want. You know, I made the comment before, and on a very practical level, obviously, if you went to that tent, David, you could have gotten herpes. But I think in the grand scheme of things, if I'm really honest with myself, it's probably an expression of pure pleasure is probably no less therapeutic and cosmically significant than an expression of sorrow and loss. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we can choose to relate to it in whatever way, and sometimes, again, there's a time and a place where it's appropriate to relate to it in those different ways, but one doesn't make it evil or good or anything like that.
No. I knew this artist. The book that I'm going to be sending you has illustrations from this painter. She was my neighbor. She was like a 95-year-old lady when I met her, and I knew her like the last 4 years of her life. And she was 3 years. She was 98 years old. She passed away, and she had dementia the whole time I knew her. But this lady was all, she had the studio full of paintings. She was a real prolific artist. She was a real amazing spirit. She'd been painting pictures of Carl Jung back in the 50s, man. She was for real. And she was heavy. She never sold anything. She had this artist studio that was canvases piled up that went back to the 40s and sculptures and it was just amazing. And so I was real fascinated. It was like I met Mr. Miyagi or Yoda in Echo Park. And I'm going and hanging out with her every day. Like, this lady's amazing. She's old. And I would get her to kind of relax, and then she would become lucid. And when she wasn't relaxed, she had this dementia that made it where you couldn't really have good conversations with her because she was real old. Well, I remember one time all of her art was real dark. You'd look around yourself in her plays and see these portraits of people that looked like they were in the pits of despair. It would be like a lady laying down in a bathtub that just looks like her hair's all flowing. She's miserable, like in hell. And this was everywhere in this lady's studio. And one time I was going through a breakup at the time, and I remember coming down there and just being all beat up and depressed and talking to this old lady about my problems that were going on in my life. And then I'd always kind of finish it up. I'd be like, no, don't worry about me. You know, it's all good. It's okay. It's all good. And then I said that to her, and she said, she looked at me totally confused. This little dementia-stricken old lady, real confused. What do you mean it's all good? Well, it's just a figure of speech. It's all good. It's what you say whenever it's okay, you know? She's like, yeah, it's okay, but it's not all good. And then I'm like, yeah, it is. It's all good. She's like, no, it's really not. It's not all good at all.
That's awesome.
It's like, it's all good and it's all terrible.
It's not all good at all. It just is. And so the more I can deal with the part that I've been calling bad, the better it is.
There was this old Ninja Tune track. I don't remember who on Ninja Tune did it, but it used to it's always changing and it's always the same. It's a long road and there's no turning back. And they used it in so many tracks. And that was like when I was maybe like 17 years old or something, I heard that and it kind of impacted me because it's something that is a distinction but no separation. And that's something that I've had to kind of do my best to wrap my mind around, to try and understand things. I'm like, just because things are different doesn't mean that they're somehow compartmentalized or detached, you know, that there can be a contrast between very polar realities, and good and bad is one of the more obvious of those polarities, you know.
Yep, absolutely.
So, all right. Well, we
guys, I gotta get running to work
that
here.
Was excellent.
So.
Thank you so much for calling me, Alan. And I send me the message with your address on it, and then share it with David. So I'll send you the book, but it's like a 12-book set.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, I'm totally down for
it. It's an accompaniment, man. But now I've put it all on hold because one of these days I want to develop it into an iPad thing. I made this before the iPad was even developed yet, and so I'm asking people to put a CD in the player and hit play and then read. And that doesn't really make much sense, but it was the only way you could do it when I started writing the book. Now we got an iPad and it can play together.
It's cool.
Yeah, isn't that like amazing that anyway. As the technology develops? Like, I think it's just because, even, you know, let's say David does a lot of the audio-visual syncs, you know, play this album with this movie, and you have this sort of old, you know, analog equipment that you're setting up to try and make this happen and trying to get your timings right, and there's different ways. And now with you can put all the albums into iTunes and just hit repeat or something, and now you don't have to worry about, like, oh, turning the record over. It's right. Like different things that make it a little bit easier, a little more natural to do these things. And yet the ideas, man, the ideas are gorgeous. So
awesome.
Yeah. I think I'll really enjoy it. I want to tell you, looking at your stuff, I don't know how to explain this, is to say where I was in my mind about probably like 8 years ago. Like, I feel like a lot of your work is stuff that I had very similar, like, visions for, of, like, wouldn't it be cool if, but had neither the skill or the equipment or the whatever to actually do. And I'm not trying to, like, take away from anything. What I'm saying is, like, looking at your stuff, I was like, I'm so glad somebody did this kind of is doing this kind of stuff, because these are things that I had. Again, when you say similar, that's a very vague statement. But just to say, like, you know, I just feel like a real simpatico with what you're expressing there, and it's like, oh man, I'm so glad someone's doing this and doing it well. So
yeah, I'm gonna turn this interview on to somebody who's not very into the synchronicity field, but the main visuals guy for Nexus named Dustin, who sets up the visual setup. I think that a lot of this stuff is things that, I mean, this is like his main area of interest, is interactive visual, you know, stimulus. And so I don't know, I think he's going to be excited to hear your spiel.
That's awesome. And we'll have to hang out out on the playa next year.
Yeah, we have this is a whole thing to get into, but just really quickly, me and my girlfriend have a 10-year business plan for starting a Hot Springs Healing Center. And so last year was dedicated to we took what the energy would normally be putting into Burning Man to going down to Joshua Tree, stopping at every Hot Springs along the way and asking questions of the people who are running it. And so this year we're probably going to do a similar thing. It's like a recognition of, my God, we both fucking love Burning Man, and wouldn't it be nice to create something on our own and have it actually come to fruition? And so working on
it. I've also been considering doing something different with my time this year, so I can't be sure that I'm going to be out there, but I know I'll be out there again.
Yeah.
Have you ever had your bike fixed at Chop Shop?
Oh, yeah.
That's our space. I'm part of Chop Shop.
Oh, cool. Okay, there you go. Yeah, just year before last, we Amy had to do that because she didn't check her tires before we left.
Right up the street from each other.
Cool. Awesome. Well, have a wonderful day. It would be nice to have you on again at some point if you're into that kind of thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
You guys call me and email me anytime. This is a real honor talking to you, and I'd like to say I feel like I got to know you before we even talked. I'm always into it.
Well, it was a real pleasure getting to know you today, and yeah, we'd love to have you back in the future. So just keep in touch. I'll shoot you an email with my address and stuff, and we'll just keep chatting.
Awesome. Thank you, Alan and David. You guys have a good day.
You too, man.
Thank you, man. Have a great day.
See you later.
Bye.
This moment.